Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
Hey, and welcome back to the Movies Hate You show. That's right, we took a week off because Mystery was... Where were you, Mystery?
I was pregnant.
Okay, Mystery was pregnant. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery how that happened.
Yeah,
Mystery Lee Peterson, welcome back, co-host, co-conspirator, and my foil, co-host, and intellectual sparring partner.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Happy to be
anywhere my
Mr.
age.
Ree, the man who starts every sentence with, I'm not gay, but... and Todd Sheets...
I'm not queer or nothing, but I'd really like to make love to you tonight.
Exactly. And coming from the man who asked me if he could do the show naked tonight in the Movies Hate You studios, to which I said no. Shocker, huh?
Yes.
Todd Sheets, you're here.
I'm here.
Strangely enough, you're with us, the producer of this show and every show on Jackalope Radio.
Yay.
Mr. Todd Sheets, filmmaker, and some other stuff.
Yay! Welcome.
Thanks for having us on your station with this fine show.
Yes.
Okay, good night, everybody.
All right, have a good night, guys. Thanks for stopping by. Todd, I hear that the station is moving.
Yes, sir. It's moving on up. We're going to be in a little bigger space, a little more room, and it's going to be fun.
Are you looking for, like above a restaurant or something? What would be the ideal setting for the Jackalope home mothership base fortress?
Well, for me, it's already set up. It's going to be, I'm going to be moving everything on Saturday to a new, it's in the same building, mind you, but a new suite.
Okay. Isn't that sweet?
Mm.
It is sweeter than sweet. Get it?
Do I get my own desk?
Yeah.
Yes.
When do we come in? When do we move in?
Yeah, you guys planned on moving in, I believe, April 30th. So I'm all set for that.
Great. All right. So April 30th of next year? I prefer April 1st. But
2013.
Oh, I know what he's saying. The world's going to end in December, so there isn't going to be no April.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what he's trying to say. He runs one of those paranormal shows, you know, where they talk Bigfoot, like the guy who got run over by, you know, a guy who dressed like Bigfoot and got ran over.
Yes.
An old gag Lee's been trying to get me to do is dress up like Bigfoot and scare some people. And I keep telling him, you're going to get shot around here trying to do that.
Well, not around here. I mean, that was in Montana, right?
That was far away from here. But, because we are in the shadow of New York City here at the Movies Hate You show, movieshateyou@gmail.com. I almost forgot.
Don't forget.
Thanks for tuning in. I forgot to thank everybody for tuning in. Our listenership keeps growing. Thousands and thousands of you are listening to us, or at least hundreds, maybe five. But we appreciate every single one of you, even if it's one of you sitting there touching your hairy chest, listening to the show. We appreciate you. Keep listening.
I think we should thank our listeners individually, like they used to do on Romper Room.
Yeah.
Remember on Romper Room, she would
look
through
the
magic mirror.
If they write in to movieshateyou@gmail.com, we will personally thank them and shout out their birthdays, and we'll even read, like, nasty letters to your ex for you. How about that? I'll even write a movie script, and Mr. Ree will read it on the air.
You can't beat that. We'll do dramatic readings.
We'll do a dramatic reading of your script. Write a scene, or send us a scene from your script, your low-budget independent film you can't find financing for because Kickstarter's a joke and a scam. and it's quite annoying to get those requests like every day. Go out and knock on doors like Sam Raimi did. Get the local dentist to give you $500. Old school, man.
Panhandle.
Panhandle. Don't ask your friends and family for money. Oh, wait, you should ask your friends and family. Don't ask strangers who have no investment in you emotionally.
Right. But, you know, I'm from Nebraska, and in Nebraska they say stranger is just a friend you haven't met. So, in a way...
I used to say something similar about girls in college. Regardless. Well, we took a week off, and we will be taking another week off next week because I'll be out of the country. I'll be at the Toronto International Film Festival.
Wow.
So if you're out there, look me up.
That's in France, right?
That's almost in France. Toronto being in Canada.
Canada.
Todd, you ever been to Canada?
I don't blame Canada for many things, but I haven't been there.
They speak French there, as I understand.
They do.
Probably why I haven't been there.
Some places more than others. I mean, Montreal is kind of like, hit or miss. You could get an English-speaking Canuck, or you can get a French-speaking one.
I know I'm a little biased, but I'm really kind of like...
What are you biased against?
I don't like French stuff. I don't like French movies. I don't like French music.
But it's not French. You don't like SCTV? Perhaps the funniest.
Yeah,
TV.
That's a great show.
The funniest TV show. Kills Saturday Night Live. SCTV kills Saturday Night Live in its prime.
You ever have a French kiss, Todd?
Yeah.
Those are okay.
Oh, all of a sudden you're French, huh?
See, maybe
French annoy the shit out of me, so.
Well, but the Canadians are not necessarily French in the traditional sense of France. Paris.
French horror movies make me mad, except for like a handful. I like Inside. Martyrs was like kind of okay, but I still am lost. I don't know what the hell happened there.
You weren't paying attention. Martyrs was very creepy, man. I really liked that movie.
I liked it too.
Frontiers, I thought, was a little run of the mill, rehashed Texas Chainsaw garbage, but
it was okay though.
Martyrs had an interesting. I love the twists. I love where it went, and as absurd as it got, I was like, I was with it. I was like, and it kind of creeped
out. I liked Inside. I was kind of into that movie more.
Inside was good. It was a little too claustrophobic for my taste, but anyway.
Those other French movies, like that one, oh my God, I can't remember the name anymore, where they just, there was like a 9-hour rape scene in the middle, and then they bash a guy's head in.
Irreversible?
Yeah, that was awful.
Listen, you're talking about French films. I'm talking about Canada. I'm going to Canada, the home of David Cronenberg. Are you both not David Cronenberg fans?
Oh, we like David. Well, we used to love David. I don't know what the hell he's doing these days.
But he was funny. Here. I like his early funny movies.
Get out of here, you guys. You know, you don't like to stick with a guy, right? What do you want him to do? You want him to keep remaking Rabbit?
No, I don't at all. But I would like for him to at least make another horror movie someday before he's like 90.
Well, he would say that the real horror is human behavior, and that's what he's doing.
I don't know. It just seems weird because like all of his movies lately are kind of like dramas and stuff. I want some body horror. I want some stuff like The Fly, or even his early stuff. Just go back and get Raw for us.
What about this new one that's coming out, this futuristic where society...
Yeah, it doesn't cut it for me. I kind of want... I'm hoping for Videodrome. Give me some Videodrome.
Cardio! Remaking Videodrome!
I don't want them to remake it. I want them to make something that cool.
Todd, you know, this anti-French thing, you're reminding me of another person from your neck of the woods over there in Missouri. Mr. Aiken.
Claude Aiken.
Mr. Aiken, you're representative over there. You're starting to remind me of the narrow-mindedness that...
I'm not trying to be. I'm really not trying to be.
You don't like Canadians. Arguably the last white people on the...
I like Canadians.
And you don't even... Not even as whites you can respect them. It's crazy, man.
They've got a beaver on their penny.
Yeah.
Anyone with a beaver penny is kind of cool.
They've got a tiger in their tank. I mean, come on, man.
But I do like Canadians, for the record. I think they're very nice.
How are you, Joe?
But I'm just joking. But it is funny that Canada does get to blame a lot for things up north there. It's kind of funny.
It's true. I don't know why. It makes no sense. But anyway, I'll be joining the Canadians next week. Movies Hate You will be on another hiatus. We will have a repeat episode. just like the repeat episode that played last week.
Maybe if this one's good, we can repeat this.
But what did we? We can repeat this one if this one's good.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Yeah. Maybe we could just play the same show every week and see what happens.
Who's going to know?
Yeah. Hey, when does Mr. UFO start his weekly show, Todd?
Going to send me a postcard?
When does Mr. UFO start his weekly Jackalope show?
I was hoping it would start by now, but it's kind of good that it didn't, because then we'd have to go on hiatus for 1 week. So it's better now that I'm hoping to start next weekend. I'm hoping to talk to him and see if he's ready for next weekend.
Oh, so Jackalope's on hiatus next week?
No, just this weekend while we move. It's only going to take us like 36 hours, but I can't really, it's just so much going on that it's going to be taking a lot of time from me, so it's already taken way too much.
So there'll be no shows playing this weekend on Jackalope?
Oh, they'll be playing, but they'll almost all be archives.
Oh, okay.
Except for the ones we're recording right now, which will not be archived.
So we're not going to be an archive, but we will be an archive the following week.
Yes.
Wow, this is just getting too confusing for me.
I'm having a deja vu. Does that mean that we're playing an archive show right now?
That's right. Are we re-recording a show we've already recorded?
I'm sorry, Mr. Ree. It's not as easy as trannies on a beach, okay? We're going to make this a little more difficult for you than that.
What is that?
Is that a drink?
Yeah.
Trannies on the beach.
What is that?
That's not a drink. It's a dream for Mr. Ree.
Oh. Trannies on the beach.
Is that like a she-male on the beach?
Could be.
That is a dream, right?
You can always tell because they're tucked under. If you're on the beach and you see a girl in a bikini and she's tucked under, in other words, she's got the bulge coming out the back and not the front. So it's a she-male.
I know. Right? Maybe.
Or what? Or would they... What? They crap their pants? What would it be?
There's probably a couple of explanations for that. I don't know. I've always said that... I probably even said on the show, trannies are like toupees. You only notice the bad ones. I mean, there could be trannies everywhere, and we would never know.
That's right.
If they're passing, if that's the intent,
true.
Then
that's true.
It's just the ones that stick out like a sore Adam's apple.
That's right. Are you even Todd could be a tranny for all we know.
For all we know.
For all we know. 42nd Street Pete could be a tranny.
I think we're going to have to say no on that one.
These are guys with long hair.
You never know
with these long-haired guys.
Pete, I definitely don't think is anything close to that.
Pete was born a woman. We're going to expose him.
Funniest crap I've ever heard.
He was born a woman, I'm telling you.
His name was Jamie Lee Curtis, as I understand, right?
Jamie Lee Curtis. That's right.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, he's getting $50 a signature or whatever at the show, or whatever, $150, whatever she's charging. Another over-the-barrel story I heard this week on the illustrious Facebook. Jamie Lee Curtis is showing up to some convention charging some outrageous amount.
$80 is what
$80. To stand in my presence, you will pay $80. I'll even put some ink on a piece of paper for you. Can you imagine? What a gig.
I got a free autograph from Jamie Lee Curtis a few years ago. And here's how you do it. I went to... She writes children's books.
Go to their
books.
House.
Well, you could do that too. She writes children's books. And they're actually pretty good. They're good books. She's written a few of them. And she was... in New York at a Barnes & Noble doing a reading and a signing of her book with the illustrator. I have a couple of kids. They're cute kids. This was a few years ago, so they were very small. I brought my kids, and I brought my Halloween DVD, kind of slipped it in there. She signed a book. She cooed over my kids, and I kind of slipped that in there and said, hey, you know, would you sign this too? And she kind of reluctantly did it, but... My advice, have some cute kids, and they'll get you anywhere.
Take on the lifelong expense of having a couple of cute kids.
They don't have to be yours. Get some rental kids.
Find the nearest person of the opposite sex. Have some children.
Kids disappear every day.
Find Jamie Lee Curtis at a convention and save $80. That doesn't sound like a very frugal investment. I think... I think this is an unsound financial decision for a fan.
Well, you can always pay the $80 too.
Pay the $80 and feel completely used and raped and condescended.
Now, for the $80, do you think she'll answer the question of whether she was born hermaphrodite or not?
I would love to hear you ask her that in person.
I have her autograph. I don't care.
but you don't have the answer to the question.
But here's the point I want to ask you. Okay, she did it, but she didn't really like doing it. Now, here's the thing that gets me. It's your work. You're at a kid's book signing, I understand. But if some guy happens to be there with his kids, and he's also a fan of your work, the kids like your books, and the guy likes your movies, why have a problem with it? I mean, that's my point. You know, what's going on with these people? So it was good enough to buy you silicone breasts, but not good enough to sign an autograph for a guy that supports your work. You wouldn't even be at that book signing if it wasn't for you appreciating her work.
That always comes back to that argument, you know. That's
frustrating.
That is always what it comes back to is it's a disrespect to your fans.
It is.
Now some people look, Jamie Lee Curtis did two horror movies in her life, right? Three horror movies. Four.
There's a whole line of them, guys. There's a whole line
of
horror movies.
It's not. She did Terror Train and then the Halloween movies. That's two. I don't care.
Prom Night.
Prom Night.
Barely a horror movie. It's more of a thriller.
It's horrifying and awful.
Road Games is not a horror film.
It's considered suspense horror, though.
Suspense. If somebody gets killed in a movie, it doesn't make it a horror movie, guys.
Yeah, but it's still a genre film.
Movie.
You could argue it's a genre film.
Then Braveheart's a genre film.
It is.
Okay, it's a horror movie.
I wouldn't go as far as to call it a horror movie, but it's horrifying.
It's the horrors of the human condition.
That's it.
It's a horror movie. It's Cronenberg, man. You know.
Well, she also did all those Halloweens when she couldn't get work. She went back to Halloween.
History of Violence is a horror movie.
Well, that's another thing. She did the other Halloween movie, right?
The last one or whatever she did. Yes.
She did two of them.
She came back to do that. Yeah, she appeared at the end of one, right? And then she did the follow-up to that. And now she does yogurt commercials to help women take a shit. You know, like that's what she does now.
And you know, if you talk about True Lies, that could be considered a horror movie, or maybe just horrible.
Horrible movie.
Yeah, yeah.
She did the computer voice for Escape from New York. Did you know that?
I really don't care.
And she was also the phone operator in Halloween 3.
And she was all. And she was also the voice of the radio DJ in The Warriors.
There you go.
I'm just making that up.
To be fair, she was nothing but nice when I asked her for the autograph. I don't think it was about her not wanting to sign it as much as thinking that if she did that, then other people would open the floodgates.
People are going to dig into their bag and find their Halloween paraphernalia.
Well, there were a few other people who had posters and such.
So what? It's a celebration of her work.
She was perfectly nice about it.
That's what bothers me about this. I can understand, you know, Ron Palillo or whoever, you know what I mean, who did something in 1978, and here we are in, you know, 2008 before he died or whatever, shows up at a convention. He needs to make a few bucks to help ends meet. And he's taking advantage of his fame or what he had as fame or whatever it is. I almost understand that because you know, making a living any way you can is, you know, respectable to a certain degree. But somebody like Jamie Lee Curtis, who probably doesn't have to work another day in her life, I don't know her finances, or, you know, when Ernest Borgnine shows up to these things, or, you know, Tony Curtis was at these things. These people who come to these things, who have just been wealthy many times over, and again, we don't know their finances, but the assumption is they don't need the money.
I think Mr. Reese should have taken his picture of her from Buck Rogers in the 25th century when she played the chained prison girl and didn't even have a line of dialogue.
Hmm.
Boy, somebody's looking at IMDb while we're on the show here. I mean, where did you think
No, that's true. That's true, because we heard stories about that.
Listen, the point is that I mean, Hitler signed a book for Indiana Jones in a movie, man. Hmm. Why can't Jamie Lee Curtis sign something?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, I had the experience with Jessica Lange, which is exactly what you're talking
Lange.
About. Lange. Jessica Lange.
It's not Lange. There's no O. It's Lange.
I'm a big fan of King Kong, the 76. Not
the one and only man.
Not ironically, I love the movie. Okay, there's obviously shortcomings to it, but I love it. I was there opening night, saw it twice. Blah blah blah. I have the DVD. I met Jeff Bridges. He very happily signed my DVD. Not only that, but he, I asked him the stupidest geek question I could possibly think of, which was, do you think Jack and Dwan would still be together? I asked him with a straight face, and he answered with a straight face. He said, you know what? I think they probably would, because if they went through all that they went through, that's a love that would last forever. And you know what? And then he told me that he had written a treatment for a sequel to King Kong. And this was in line, he had done a CD of his music. Yeah, it's not great music, whatever, it's kind of Eagles-ish music. But he was doing a signing of his CDs, so lots of people behind me. He took about 10 minutes to describe this thing to me, this treatment, everything about this treatment, which he probably hasn't told many people about, and so he was happy to talk about it. Sweetheart of a guy, told me all this stuff. Cut to Jessica Lange's on Broadway. I catch her at the stage door where people traditionally sign playbills and whatever, and I'm looking like a putz holding my King Kong DVD that Bridges has already signed, and she steps out, takes one look at it, and says, "Oh, I won't sign that." Just in that tone of voice, and I'm the one who stuffed it. Sorry, I won't say it. You're the one who made the movie. Okay, I'm not being a joker here. I like the movie. You know, I want it signed. If you're ashamed of what you might have done to get the role, then fine. Between you and
both sides of the coin, she's not obligated to sign anything.
No.
She doesn't want to. She's not our pet.
But that's the attitude that I think Jamie Lee didn't have that attitude.
Right.
She wasn't looking down on the genre films, or she wasn't saying, "Oh, I won't sign that."
Yeah.
It was more, I think, and I think some of it might have to do with the publicists that they put a lot of pressure on the people to not sign anything but the book.
But I want to know why.
Yeah, I don't know. I've had that experience.
I mean, how much does a Jamie Lee Curtis autograph go for that there would be some kind of problem? Like, I understand when some celebrities, they do autographs for, like, Hugh Jackman or somebody, or Brad Pitt. They'll sign a bunch of movie posters for charity. And then they'll go and they'll auction this thing off on eBay, and I'll say all the X-Men characters in one of the, part two, let's say, they all sign a poster, and it goes up for auction for charity, but it has to go for charity. So that can go for, $5,000-$6,000. Why is he going to sign for you in the street for nothing when his signature can bring in money for charity? Not for him. He doesn't want the money. He's got enough money for the rest of his life. But I can understand when you put a value on your signature because you can use it for good. That I totally respect. And if Hugh Jackman comes out and says, "I'm not going to sign X-Men stuff because whatever," I'm not saying he doesn't, using him as an example.
Well, that's a good example, actually, because I had experience with him as well. And that
right.
was a thing when
right.
he was doing a show. He and Daniel Craig were doing a show. And I went there during previews, and they were okay with signing stuff. Especially Craig was really nice. He signed mm-hmm. anything that anybody had. But then once the show started, they had made a deal with Actors Equity, and they were doing these special packages where you'd go backstage for $300 or something.
Yeah.
You got a meet and greet with them.
Yeah.
And they signed up whatever for you, and it was all for the charity. I can dig that, but
yeah.
it kind of ties in with our torrent discussion last time. How you're saying that makes, I guess the implication is that makes his signatures less valuable if he also signs for free, and I don't buy.
At that same time. Yeah, did we ever finish that torrent debate, Todd? How long did that go? An hour and a half?
A long time.
Is that up in the archives in the full uncut form?
It will be after this weekend.
Is the N-word going to be bleeped out?
Everything's going to be there.
All right.
Everything's going to be there. See that? We don't believe in censorship here at Jack Lowe.
Yay.
Todd.
It's going to be the uncut version.
Uncut, yes. Uncircumcised.
I'm thinking we kind of came to a gentleman's agreement on the torrent battle that it's okay if there's some way to monetize it. So in other words, I was thinking of what if I could embed in every film a tracking device that builds a tally for me, and let's say you put my movie up on your website, and then you take advertising, and my movie's downloaded 1,000 times. I have a tracking encoded into my film that sends me reports how many times it was downloaded and how much money you owe me based on your advertising revenue or your subscriptions. I think that would be cool.
That would be cool for you. I don't know. I mean,
well, why wouldn't it be cool for the?
Well, then you'd have to have faith that the system works perfectly and that somebody doesn't get a bill for $3,000 that they don't really owe. And then how do you fight that? And
who would get the bill? No. I'm not saying the fan pays the money. I belong to, you know, XYZ moviedownload.com, whatever that is. I'm making it up. I pay $24 a year for the privilege of belonging to this website, and so do 25,000 other people. They all pay this money. So then that company, that whatever, they report, you know, they bring in X amount of dollars a year, provable by their taxes. So see, you know, the problem is you have to be legitimate to do this. Provable by your taxes, and then my torrent's downloaded 50 times in that year, I get X amount percent based on what they brought in. No, I'm not going to say every time you download, you're going to give me $10. No, it's based on what they actually bring in. So if your website takes in advertising and makes $500,000 a year, we got 50,000 torrents up there. Yeah, you got to hire somebody to go through all that accounting because you're making $500,000 a year, and you're making it off of putting my movie up there for free. Who is that helping? It's hurting everybody except the guy that owns the site.
So everything would be prorated. So let's say something got downloaded zero times.
I get nothing.
You'd see nothing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I don't deserve. If I put out a movie and no one wants it, no one wants to buy it, and it's a piece of crap, then it deserves not to make any money. And then I learn the next time, I better get a better film next time. That's kind of how it works.
Sounds like the free market.
It sounds like a free market working. But the point is, the person putting up that torrent, hosting it, they can't just be one-sided like that, where they make all the money. You know, either that or donate it all to charity, and then don't give me any money. And that's fine if you donate it all to charity. I can live with that. You know, it's just a fairer system. I'm not saying black and white, this is the bad guy, this is the good guy. But if you make money off of putting my stuff that I pay money to create and trying to sell up for free, but you've profited from it, that's illegal. That's the illegal part. Not that you went up there and downloaded that torrent. The fact that that person exists and is doing that and is profiting from it, that's the problem. And I'm not talking about private communities that trade tapes or private torrent sites you have to be a member of. You're never going to stop anything like that. I mean, you know, we all came up buying bootlegs of every flavor, so I'm not going to rally against bootlegs, but you know, or a fan trying to have access to something they can't find or can't afford.
Right. I guess it comes down.
But $24, like if there was a website, like let's say Cinemageddon, which has an amazing array of stuff, all genres, everything, weird stuff, oddball TV, everything. If they said today, well, you know, unfortunately times have changed, we have to take $50 a year from every person, how many people would disappear? Who can't afford $50 a year? If you saved a dollar a week, you could afford $50 a year.
Right.
I mean, if you have a computer and you're downloading torrents and burning them onto disk, then you can afford $50 a year. If you could pay $70 a month for internet, you could pay $50 a year for the privilege to download other people's material for free.
Right.
You have no part in the equation. Look at it like cable. I have a couple movies on cable TV. Well, you think that's great, but it's VOD. So it's transactional. Every time somebody rents my movie, I get a little piece. What, $3.99, $5.99? Get a little taste, maybe a dollar, $2 for that movie. Now, if it gets downloaded 10 times, then maybe $20. Gets downloaded a million times, and I made $2 million. You know what I mean? It's like that. They're not giving me money up front. I'm not giving them money up front. All I've done was given them a copy of the movie. People have to buy it, watch it, and that's it. Now, that same system, if I gave my movie to the cable company and it was free for you, let's say, you went up there and you saw, I want to watch that movie, and it's free. You go and you watch it, but then the cable company pays me a percentage of their advertising royalties or their advertising income, then what's the difference? You know, there are free movies on cable. You can go to there's a horror channel, FearNet. You right. go on there and you can watch. They have 20 or 30 movies a month. They always mix them up. They're always new movies. You can watch everything from like Halloween to like some independent shot on video crap. Like they have a mix of stuff. Now, the way that happens is the cable company goes to that person and says, well, I'll give you $2,000 for 6 months so I can play this on cable and give it away as a free thing. Okay, I'll take the $2,000. I'm not going to make that otherwise. It's found money. I don't have to do anything. Oh, here's a copy of the movie. Put it up there. I'm not doing any physical work. I'm not making a new thing. I'm not investing in it. I've already done all that. So I'm just monetizing what's already sitting there. So to me, and that money, the cable company doesn't say, oh, well, let's just find the money and do it. It comes out of their advertising revenue. And that's how they lure new people into their VOD system and into their cable system, saying, sign up with us. We got free movies every month. It's one of their selling points. And I know that's going to cost them money. So there's ways to do it. And it doesn't have to be unreasonable or it doesn't have to hurt the consumer.
Yeah, I think that's the way it's going to work. And it was like what I was saying before, how it seems that right now everyone's making the downloader or the consumer to be the bad guy. And I think you need to take the consumer out of the equation, like you said.
Yeah.
Make it completely between the distributor
yep.
and the content provider or
right.
whatever you would call the owner of the website.
That's right.
Keep the consumer out of it
yep.
because to me the major point is that the cat's out of the bag and for a lot of people, not for everybody, but for a lot of people, the price point has gone down to zero. And that's just the fact.
You can't compete with that.
You can't.
There's nothing you could ever do to compete with that. If I went to your house and walked my movie to your house and said, just give me $1, man, please, will you buy this DVD? They would close the door because they can go inside and get it for free. Freeze is going to trump anything.
Mm-hmm.
And anything, not just movies, and anything. And anything. We walked outside of this building right now, and there was a table of free food out there. We'd go and we might take something. We're not going to ask, where did this come from? Is it ethical? You know? And then what if we ate it and somebody said, you know, that food fell off a truck and I cooked it up for us, but hey, who cares? So I'd say, who cares? Fell off a truck. We utilized it. Didn't go to waste. Okay. Who's going to say no to free? It's unfair to offer, you know, it's like entrapment. You know, it's like you're being offered all these free movies and then you're getting a bill from Warner Brothers for $30,000 because you downloaded some garbage thing on somebody else's site. The person who put it up there goes free.
Exactly.
That makes no sense. It's almost like the movie and music industry and software industry wants you to have a set of morals that you don't have. It's almost like, well, why is it my moral responsibility to track down where this movie came from? How do I know I go to a site and how do I know that person doesn't have a deal with Warner Brothers? I'm going to go investigate that before I download it. It's an impulse buy. Movies are an impulse buy. Music's an impulse buy.
Right. I think it shows the contempt that the major companies have for the consumer, whether it's
I don't know
intentional or not.
No,
I mean you look at the DivX. Remember when DivX was when DVD was first coming out, the rival was DivX, and the idea was there. It was the stupidest idea, but it showed contempt for the audience because it was saying, you can buy this, but you don't really own it. You can.
This tape will self-destruct in 10 seconds. Yeah.
Exactly. And so why would I want to buy it? Why would I want to buy it?
Absolutely.
And to me, that they were pushing, and a lot of the big companies were pushing that, and of course the consumer said, no way, it's stupid. You can't, again, it's like competing with free. Competing
right.
with a product I get to keep. So
right.
I can pay $20 for one I get to keep and one I don't get to keep.
Right.
Same price.
It makes no
sense. What do you think I'm going to choose?
It's like, you buy this shirt, it'll disintegrate the first time you buy it, or you can buy this other shirt that'll last you 5 years.
Right.
Like, okay, well, there's a $5 difference. I'll take the one that lasts for, you know.
And it doesn't make any sense. They couldn't understand
they
why.
Should give the DivX away for free and then charge $20 for the one that lasts for
exactly.
a couple of years.
Exactly.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. It's fear. It's not contempt. I mean, I don't think maybe it's contempt. I mean, the same contempt that the guy who owns the McDonald's that you go to who's never eaten McDonald's in his life has for the people that eat in McDonald's. you know, like the restaurateur millionaire that owns a chain of fast food restaurants who thinks the food's disgusting might be the same contempt. I don't know. I don't know. You know, you would think that most people involved in the arts, whatever it is, movies or music, has some kind of love for it. It kind of draws those kind of people.
Well, yeah, I don't think that's true of the upper echelon.
No, maybe not the business end, the accounting department, because the creative people realize we got to bring MBAs in here. We got to bring business people in here. It's just gonna, you know, it's gonna be like another United Artists over and over again. You know, you're just gonna have, it's gonna be whimsical. It's gonna be whimsical. So that's why it's why movies look the same, and that's why remakes happen all the time, and that's why when something comes out and does well, carbon copies happen, and you know it's a business. That's unfortunate, but within that, good stuff comes out all the time.
Sure,
you know I'm not an anti Hollywood person. I think there's good stuff, good quality work that comes out. I mean, it's crap.
Yeah, sure.
Like any industry, clothes, books. I mean, anything. So maybe there's contempt because there's a feeling that consumers will buy anything. But that's not true. You see it happen all the time. Stuff bombs.
Maybe it's not contempt, but it's a feeling that we're in control and you are not in control. And that
right.
That's what we saw.
But they are in control. That's it. That's the panic button that somebody hits when they are in control, though. See, why I don't understand why the control has to shift.
Well, it's if you look back at when VHS began, you had these same companies fighting it.
And cable, too.
It wasn't necessarily because you could tape it and distribute it and give it to your friends, etc. It was that you could own it.
Yeah.
And suddenly the consumer becomes the owner.
Yeah.
And that freaked them out because that means I can't sell it to you again every 5 years like they were doing.
Wow.
And Spielberg was a holdout for the same reason, because he liked that model of I'm going to keep re-releasing my movies every 5 years for a new audience.
Right.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Right.
Once you can actually own the movie, in some respects, have it in your home, you buy it once, you don't have to buy it again. And
you
that,
don't.
That scared the heck out of them.
You don't. And they try to, you know, well, DVD came around, and, you know, Blu-ray came around, Laserdisc came around, whatever happened, special editions, double disc, blah, blah, blah. You know, they found all kinds of free T-shirt, free globe, you know, snow globe with your purchase, free stuffed animal with your purchase. They tried different things.
Right, but they were dragging their
They did double
and
triple dip. Anybody remember that Evil Dead quadruple octo dip? How many times did they release that movie?
14, I don't know how many.
14 times, yeah. So even the indies do it. I mean, you know, it's just a different platform. I can understand it, though, you know, because when faced with losing control over your own industry, which is a little bit what's happening now, it's like people are saying, like, why do a movie? You know, I talk to filmmakers all the time, and they say, every single one of them at some point, if not early on in our conversations about possibly releasing their work, the question comes up, how will you protect my film from being downloaded? You know, what do you take? Do you do copy guard? Do you do this? What do you do to stop this from happening? And sadly, I have to tell them I do nothing. I can't do anything. Neither can Warner Brothers. Neither can any other company. Cannot stop it. Once your movie's out there, it's fair game to go up on these sites and become torrents and be free. And then, filmmaker, you could see the kind of, you know, the heart drops a little bit. Because you're basically saying, I'm sending your movie into the oven. You know, we could just hope for the best. Hope it makes a few dollars before it gets all the way in.
Right.
You know, and that's a sad thing, because this is somebody who's put their heart and soul and friends, family, their own money, their whatever their journey was to make that movie. It's kind of a little bit crushed. And I've been on the other side of that conversation personally, so I know, you know, I can write it off and say, oh, it's the price of doing business. Well, the business will adapt. The filmmaker doesn't give a crap about that. They don't know how the business works, the mechanics of it. They make a film. They made a film. They know how to make a film. They know how to make that happen.
Right.
That's what they turn to somebody like me, and no matter who they turn to, and if they tell you differently, they're lying, that there is nothing to stop it. Once it's out there, anybody can buy a DVD of yours from any website, anywhere in the world, and do that. Burn it and put it up on a torrent. And I can't go into Russia and stop that person. If I had a million lawyers, I couldn't stop it.
Right. It's like putting things on television. I mean, something's on, yeah, on quote-unquote free television, which is basically free. I mean, you're
it's free to you.
Little bit of money and
no, it's free to you, but the TV station pays me.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But that's the thing. But once your show is on TV, it can be recorded.
Yeah.
And you can, yeah, do it. You never have to buy it. You'll never,
right,
have to buy it.
That's right.
So again, going back to the same model that we're talking about is making it between the distributor and the content provider.
It has to be monetized. I don't care. Listen, if you want to put my movies up on torrents, feel free to. Send me a check for a dollar. Send me 50 cents. Just make an effort, something. Send me a thank you letter, anything. Mm. You know, write, send me a report. Didn't make any money this month. Lie to me. Just make that effort that we're in a business transaction. Because otherwise, you're stealing from me. I can't think progressively enough to think it's anything else. But if you said to me, if you came and asked me permission, you know how many people ask me permission? Can I play your movie at my festival? Can I play your movie on my public access channel? Can I play your movie on my website? I have a web TV thing. I don't have any money. Play it. If you just ask, you'd be surprised.
Right.
But to go and assume that you can just put it up on your public access channel, whatever it is, something that somebody else made money from and that a third party came in and put more money into to get it out there to you in that form, to then take it and just give it away to other people is not fair. At least ask permission.
Right.
I think we put Todd to sleep.
I think we solved the problem twice.
We solved the problem.
We solved it all.
Yeah. Todd would just take him out in the street and shoot him.
I'd slap the hell out of him.
Nah. It's not worth it, man. He'd go to jail.
Pete would.
Pete would, yeah. Well, we could find out what Pete thinks about all this. I know he, you know, he's carving names into bullets, I'm sure. Okay, so we solved it twice. We didn't disagree as much as we thought we would. But, you know, I think that there are, maybe these changes are going to happen. YouTube is a great example of this. YouTube was free. People were putting, there was major problems. But now, guess what? I can go up there and I'm authorized to put up 150 hours of content if I want to. And I can monetize it. Those little ads that pop up on YouTube, somebody paid to have that up there because you had a certain amount of hits on your video. So when AT&T, one of my 50 years old, when Verizon or whoever goes up there and says, you know, hey, check out our new blah, 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 or skip this ad, whatever, that's the person whose video you're watching, they're making money. YouTube shares those profits.
Right.
I get checks every month from YouTube, some surprisingly high. And not high, you know, buying a new car high, but I'm saying $100, $200 for one movie sitting up there in a month. So people are watching that stuff. They're not spending money. They're enjoying a movie for free. But yet the person who made the movie, because when I take that $200 in, I go and I give the filmmaker their cut of that $200. Everybody's happy. Hey, sorry, man, you only made $200 this month, but, you know, that was just on YouTube. You know, and you sold 50 DVDs, so here's a check. They're thrilled. It's something.
Yeah.
You know, most people don't, you know, no, you don't have to give somebody $1 million to make them happy. You know, if you, most people, you give them enough just to survive on, they're happy. So anyone would welcome a check for $100 a month from out of nowhere for something they did 2 years ago. And then another check for $75 the next month, and a check for $300 the next month. That's all I'm talking about here. I'm not saying, you know, well, we need millions of dollars for this, or give us $10,000 up front. Most independent movies can't even make $10,000, believe me. So, you know, I think when people in the industry start to understand what the real value of movies are, what the consumer starts to see the value of movies to some degree, but most importantly that these websites and hosts see the value of what they're putting up there and see the chain of people that it took to make it and put it up there.
Yeah, is it too late? I mean, people are used to getting it for free. Is it?
Well, it might be too.
It
might
be. Bag?
Well, it might. I mean, look, people still buy DVDs. I get orders every day. It's not, you know, it's not a dead art. But You're right. How do you go back? You don't. You can't. If YouTube started charging tomorrow, their viewership would drop off. Mm-hmm. But they've done it the right way. They've taken third-party advertisers and monetized it that way. That's the way to do it. It's not too late, because you can do it in a way that doesn't hurt the consumer. Or very little. You know, comes out of your... Maybe the cable company, if your cable company gives your internet service, maybe they can figure out some way to do something. Monetize it through the cable company. I have no idea. I'm not, you know, that's not my level of expertise. And I don't know what is. Certainly doing the show is, but let the geniuses figure it out, you know?
The beam counters in
Washington. Beam counters figure it out. I mean, you know, they figured it out with iTunes. YouTube figured it out. Cable companies figured out how to stay alive. You know, Netflix. There's still video stores. You know, there are huge video store chains in this country, just because you don't see them here in New York. They still exist, and they're thriving. So, I mean, people go and rent movies still. Redbox makes a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not one of these doom and gloom people, but it's definitely concerning, and there's definitely some writing on the wall, and it's definitely changing, but no one knows where that's going.
But we do know where we're going.
We're going right to hell.
I thought we were going off the air.
Is that our segue? Yes. Todd, producer man.
Yes.
Are we running out of time here on the Movies Hate You show?
You are. You have about 4.5 minutes.
Oh my goodness, what are we going to talk about? Now, we finished, let's just say the torrent discussion is closed until we bring somebody else in it. We have agreed to agree that on all those things we just talked about. Listen to the last 45 minutes of this show to hear what we were talking about, because I'm not going to repeat it. But
we'll never say this again.
We've agreed to disagree, to not disagree, I should say. We've agreed to not disagree.
Agreed.
Although I thought we were going to disagree and get into a screaming match. It turns out we are both more gentlemanly than that.
Hey, maybe we have a little more faith in humanity now after this.
I that's possible. I think to put a face of humanity onto the people creating that content, even if it's not a distributor, if it's just the artist or something, I think that helps. You know, put the face of humanity in it. Because, you know, and you know what? Sure, you could purge the music and movie business right now, and you get rid of a lot of garbage. People who just wouldn't do it if there's no money in it. But you'd also lose some good artists, too. And that's the problem, you know? Like, people who say, oh, there's so much crap out there anyway, who cares? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, but you'd lose the gems that are in there. That's the real fear from an artistic point of view. That's the real fear. I thought you were saying it's the end of the day for this show.
It is. It's time to go.
Hey, you've been listening. Hey, very good segue. End of the day for all of us, my friends. End of the day for all of us. You've been listening to the Movies Hate You show. I am Rob. This is Mr. Ree, a.k.a. Lee Peterson. Todd Sheets on the board, producing us straight to hell. Thank you for joining us, movieshateyou@gmail.com, and we will see you very soon. We'll hear you. No, you'll hear us very soon.
I always
do that. I always pretend I'm on television. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, I tried to make it Sunday, but I got so damn depressed that I set my sights on Monday and I got myself undressed. Well, I ain't ready for the altar, but I do agree there's times when a woman sure can be a friend of mine. Will you meet me in the middle? Will you meet me in the air? Will you love me just a little, just enough to show you care? Well, I tried to fake it, don't mind saying, but just can't make it. Well, I keep on thinking about you, sister, golden hair surprise, and I just can't live without you, can't you see it in my eyes? I've been one poor correspondent, I've been too hard to find, but it doesn't mean you ain't been on my mind. Will you meet me in the middle? Will you meet me in the air?
can't make it.
Just can't make it.
Well, I keep on thinking about you, sister, golden hair surprise. And I just can't live without you. Can you see it in my eyes?